choir. Such an appropriate hymn, Will We Be Ready? That's what Advent is all about. Well, today is quite a day. Patty, you made it back. Did you have a good night last night? You tired? The word of the day, Patty, is we have to love our enemies. Go Gators. I had to say it. All right, we got a lot going on today. The church is decorated, as you can see. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's also the beginning of our 2020 stewardship campaign. And as you can see, our tree over here has the gift tags for Grace House on it. So that's a lot. And like I said, I'm the resting elder. I'm Tim Lawrence, and I've been working on this morning's message for several months, but last night I decided that I was going to change some things. So this morning at 7 o'clock, I was up on the computer again, and this is what you get. The title is still the same. Things are not always what they seem. The Beatitudes is a perfect example. Blessed are these, and you fill in the blank. We love that. And Christ was teaching us that things are not always what they seem. Well, I want to give you several examples this morning. The first one is personal. My wife, Debbie, retired in 2008. And as part of that celebration of her retirement and for her birthday and my birthday, and Sean got to go along for the ride, we decided to book an Alaska cruise. And I had been to Alaska one time when I was a teenager, but that's a whole different story. But we decided to go on this cruise ship, and it was going to be a grand time. And we got our passports in order. We flew out of Tampa, went to Vancouver. Now, that turned it into an international incident, I mean trip. And since we went from the United States to Canada, and then we were going from Canada back into the United States, yes, we had to go through customs, and we had to go through immigration, and that should be just routine. We're just going on a cruise, right? Well, that's where things are not always what they seem. Most of you know I love coffee. And for this trip, and on the plane, and as we got into customs area, I had a stainless steel coffee insulated thermos, whatever you want to call it. And I just finished my coffee, and I decided to put it in my carry-on bag, which was a knapsack, a backpack. So I put it in the backpack, and as we're going up to customs and immigration, they've got a belt where you put all your stuff. And Debbie and Sean have already proceeded ahead of me because I'm arranging my backpack. And when I put the backpack up there, I wasn't thinking. I also had a luggage scale in the backpack, a little metal thing with a dial on it. Looks like a clock. Things are not always what they seem. Well, Deb and Sean had gone past, and I noticed the guy at the customs counter back up away from the machine, and he starts doing like this with his hand, like he's got cerebral palsy. And then I looked at the screen, and I could see the backpack on the screen, and there's this cylindrical object with a dial on top. And I'm like, oh no. And so I'm trying to explain that it's just a coffee container and just a luggage scale. But to that little old man who'd been standing there half asleep for days, that was an international incident. This is terrorism come to Vancouver. And he had a moment of panic. So things were not always what they seemed. It looked interesting on the radar, on the x-ray screen, though. And everything went fine. We got through customs, and we had a wonderful vacation. Now, the second example. This is about attitude. We've had 13 pastors at Hope Church. 13. Ewart, Brian, Walkup, Thompson, Cummings, Dombrowski, Mugler, Harris, Kelsey, Shalor, Hosick, Byrode, And up until last Sunday, Ellis. It's 13 pastors. Well, I've only been here for 8 of those. I guess that's a while. So there's 2 ways to look at that. You can say, well, Hope sure has a hard time keeping a pastor. Or they can't seem to have one pastor stay for a long time. Or you can say, Hope sure is blessed to have had that many shepherds to lead our little flock. It's a matter of attitude. Things are not always what they seem. Now, right now, we're looking forward to number 14. And like the shepherds long ago, they were looking forward to a king. We're looking forward to a new minister. Let me know about that, PNC, if you got any. I want a new minister for Christmas. A couple thousand years ago, in a little town called Bethlehem, there was a baby born in a manger. And that's what Advent's all about. But things are not always what they seem. The prophecy said that there was a Messiah coming. And a lot of the leaders of the church and a lot of the persecuted of the church thought about the Messiah, and they all had a different vision of who this Messiah would be. Some of them saw the conquering king coming in with an army on a white horse, swords and spears, and taking over the oppressive governments that they'd been dealing with all this time. Come to rescue us. The Messiah is going to be the deliverer. But no one thought about this little baby Jesus. There was a king, though, that took it pretty seriously. He's opened up a manhunt on babies because he didn't want any threat to his reign or to the established order. And he saw even that little baby as a threat. But no one expected what was to come out of the baby Jesus. Who knew that one little baby could do so much? Now, I remember in Advent, some years ago, rewind 7 or 8 pastors to Pastor Dombrowski. Peter had a wife and 5 kids, and they were a big part of the church. But this Advent Sunday that I'm talking about, Cynthia sang a song up here, and Sophie, the older daughter, came down the aisle dressed as Mary to her mother's singing, and she was carrying down the aisle what looked like a baby. And when she got up here to the altar, she unwrapped it, and we saw what was to be our communion bread for the day. And the symbolism of that was very touching to me. I have a piece of that song. I didn't get it on the...
Mary, did you know that you're a baby?
I still remember that Sunday. And when I hear other groups or other singers sing that song, I can remember back to that Sunday. And it makes me feel for that mother, Mary. She had no idea what she was getting into or what she was going to deal with. And one of the things I wish we had was a book or an account of Jesus' life as a child. We have very little of Jesus' youth. Today, he would have a Facebook and an Instagram and a Twitter, and they would probably make it into a movie. They'd call it Young God or Growing Up Jesus. You know, but we have very little of Jesus' early life. But just a thought, because things are not always what they seem. Now, Jesus was quite the pastor. Go figure. And I want to continue reading some more of the sermon that he preached this morning in the book of Matthew. This is a different translation. It's more familiar. It says, "You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. You know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they're also corrupt. And don't say anything you don't mean. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, 'I'll pray for you,' and never doing it, or saying, 'God be with you,' and not meaning it. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look: eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose: don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. You're familiar with the old written law: love your friend, and its unwritten companion: hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it." He was a really great preacher. And sometimes I find myself at odds with the message. And you've heard me say before, "Really, Jesus? Really? Okay, I won't kill anyone, but you're telling me I can't even get angry? Really? I'm happily married, but that woman was just begging for attention. And isn't it okay to tell someone you will pray for them just to make them feel better? And really, Jesus, turn the other cheek and love my enemies? You got to be kidding me." Tough, challenging, controversial scripture that we face every day in our Christian walk. It's not easy to be Christian. I didn't say a Christian. It's easy to be a Christian. All you got to do is say, "I'm a Christian." But to be Christian means you're following to be like Christ. And that is a challenge. Lastly, the angel tree. We've had people come in, and it's a tradition of Hope to give gifts to those less fortunate. It's one of our many missions we do here, one of our outreaches that I really love. Or is it? Things are not always just what they seem. Take the tags this morning, bring back the gifts, I think Sunday the 15th. Don't wrap them. Just make sure the tag is on the gift. Nancy? Again, things are not always what they seem. In this case, it's a lot more. We're taking these tags off the tree to bring the gifts, and they're going to be given to the parents of the children who are spending Christmas in a homeless shelter. Think of the joy of Jesus when you take that tag off the tree and when you go shopping. Think of the joy of that little boy or little girl who's going to actually have a Christmas after all, even in a shelter. That's what Christmas is all about. Things are not always what they seem. We never know when we will encounter Jesus or who we can demonstrate our Christ-likeness to. And I hope that this Advent season we can all look for those special people, special places, and special things that will let us know and appreciate the true meaning of Christmas this year and always. God bless you. Amen.